I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. With me, He is King of Kings, He is Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the first and the last. No man works like Him. He's King of Kings, He is Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the first and the last. No man works like Him. He built His throne up in the air. He calls the saints from everywhere. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, the first and the last. It's me. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me. My brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. It's me, oh Lord. It's me. Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Ain't got time to tell. Oh, when I'm in the sea. When I'm in the sea. When I'm in the sea. Oh, it takes all of my time.
Everybody, everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. I am so probably not used to what you're used to because I'm loud. I'm loud. But amen. Let's give Jaden another round of applause. Amen. I looked over and I told Reverend Jemison, I said, but she's a little girl. All that voice coming out of that little girl. Amen. Giving all praises to the God that we serve. To God be the glory for the great and marvelous things he hath done. To the angel of this house in the person of Reverend Dr. Jimerson. To all the Reverend clergy that graced the pulpit on today. To all the deacons and the trustees and to this celebrated family of Sister Wilson. And to all my father's children. Good afternoon. It's good to be here. I certainly do thank Sister Ella Sane, my sister from Seguin, for her welcome, for her introduction. I really thought she and Pastor Jimerson were joking, were kidding, when they asked me to come and stand at the 11 o'clock hour at the historic Second Baptist Church of San Antonio. I was raised at the Second Baptist Church in Seguin, Texas. I grew up there and was baptized there by the late Reverend R.L. Sadbury. So I love Second Baptist. I do thank Sister Ann Carter for asking me the invitation to come and to share on today with you. I am humbled by the invitation. But I thank all of you for accepting me on today. I'm so glad that there were other things on this program after Sister Connie sang. Reverend Jimerson said he felt like preaching, and I understood exactly what he meant, but I felt like just jumping and running up and down here and going up and down the aisle. And I need to tell you, I could not have said a word till right about now when she finished singing that song. And he blessed my soul without a word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is so wonderful, the program thus far, the service thus far. And yes, I'm a bundle of nerves, but I know that God is able. Amen. I know that God is able, so I'm going to get on with it. I'm going to get on with it. And I didn't vary from the scriptures that were given to me today. And you have read them already, but we're going to go right back to those scriptures. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. But first, I need to talk to God for myself. Father, here I am. I am yours to use as you choose. I surrender Gloria right now, Father, and I ask that you will sit Gloria down and you stand up, Lord God. I am but a vessel for you to use. So there is nothing that will be said that comes from me. It will be from you, Lord. And I ask and I pray that it will be a word that you will be edified, you will be glorified, but your people, Lord, will be blessed. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer. It's in the precious, powerful, miraculous name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20, the word of the God, word of God for the people of God. Now in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, just a little background, not to insult your intelligence, because I know that you already know, but we find the account of Jesus' resurrection. The women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, are on their way to the tomb with spices. There's been a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came from heaven and rolled away the stone from the tomb. The keepers of the tomb have become as dead men. That's what the Bible says. The angel addresses the women, and he calms their fears, and he tells them that Jesus is not in the tomb. He is risen. He invites them to look in the tomb to see that it is indeed empty. Then he tells them to go quickly and tell his disciples the good news and where they are to meet Jesus in Galilee. And as the women were going, they met the resurrected Jesus himself. And they worship him. Now, what a morning they were having. Jesus repeated the message that they were not to be afraid and to go and tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee, for he had made an appointment to meet them there. So then in verse 16, the 11 disciples are in a mountain in Galilee as Jesus has appointed them. In verse 17, it says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I came to tell you, brothers and sisters, some things have never changed. Some worshiped him, but some doubted. And it's been that way for over 2,000 years. But you know what? You're either in one category or you're in the other one. So you have to answer for yourself. Are you going to worship him and believe him? Or do you doubt him? Verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, we need to recognize that this is the King. Jesus, the King, speaking. He is saying, and I say that it's Jesus the King because the Gospel of Matthew is the Gospel of the King. Matthew writes that Jesus was born a king. He lived as a king. He died as a king. He rose again as a king. And he's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I didn't tell y'all what the topic of this little Easter speech is. The topic is, you can take it from here. And to put it in our vernacular, y'all got it from here. But I don't want you to miss this, that it's the king speaking. He says, I have all power. And then this is what he says, the king. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, the king is still speaking. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. You can take it from here. Y'all got it from here. Right here, right here, in these verses, it's obvious. At least it's obvious to me. It's crystal clear that our Lord has committed the gospel to his church. We have a fourfold account of the great commission of our Lord. Matthew makes it clear that the content of the gospel is good news. And he instructs the disciples, that's all of us, to cross the barriers of geography, to cross the barriers of socioeconomic disparities, cultural and racial differences, and interpersonal relationships by the good news of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, we ought to tell everybody. There's a little song I used to sing. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. That's our purpose. This word is as relevant today as it was when Matthew penned it in this gospel. The needs of the world are obvious. Think about it. Our world is in desperate need of us making a personal response to this missionary mandate. Go. The Great Commission. Because our day is a day in which the world is plagued with great physical hunger. All you have to do is look at all those commercials that come, all those ads, all those infomercials that come on television, and you see hunger everywhere. Our day is a day that's growing of growing world tension. I don't care how many troops they pull out of wherever, there's still world tension everywhere. Our day is a day of major social, economic, and political revolution. There are countries, sometimes I wonder about this one, but there are countries that are ready to overthrow their governments. Social, economic, and political revolution. Our day is a day of suffering beyond our imagination. We sit here and we're comfortable. We don't even comprehend the suffering that goes on in the world around us. Third world countries are suffering, not just physically, but they're suffering for lack of the word of God. Our day is a day of possible unlimited destruction. Everybody has a nuclear bomb. And they say, we have a treaty that keeps anybody from using that. Well, all right. Okay. That's what they say. And then everybody, you can look on the internet and figure out how to build a bomb in your own kitchen. Enormous, overwhelming destruction. Our day is a day of desperate spiritual need, but our day is a day of glorious opportunities for proclaiming the gospel. We don't have any excuse for not proclaiming the gospel. And Jesus, the king, says, you can take it from here. And I want you to know that it's a command, Sister Carter. It's a command. Now, some of us have a problem with a command. Oh, yeah, we do. You can say amen to that because if you've served in the military, then you know that you don't have a choice when it comes to a command. When they tell you to get your stuff and move out, you can't say, well, you know, I really had other plans for today, so I don't feel like showing up for duty today. And if any of you were raised with a black mama like I had, you knew you didn't have a say when she gave you a command. You didn't think about it a few minutes. You went and you did it right then. Pastor said, and if? I'll let you fill in the blanks because it was different for everybody. Worst whipping I ever got was a comb popped in my, yeah, okay, popped in my hand. All right. But it's a command. The mission task of the people of God is not a matter of emotion or feeling. You know, I get up a whole lot of days and I don't feel like it. I'm just talking about me. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. I don't feel like it, but it's my duty. I've been given a command. It is not a work to be carried out at our convenience. We are under the orders of the Lord. And I want you to see this. First point. And he has the authority. He has the authority to command us. It's not an option. It's a command to be obeyed. Now, there are many things that we can choose to do or not to do. We have the autonomy as individuals to say yay or nay to some things in life. But if we are who we say we are, Christians, if we believe and trust in the word of God, then Jesus leaves no question of his authority. All power, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. These are the orders of the king. I dare you not to obey them. Go, teach, baptize, and keep on teaching. He told us, you can take it from here. If the church asks you to do something, you might waver on that. If the pastor asks you to do something, you say, well, Pastor, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray about it. But our Lord, whose authority is beyond question, has given this command. We need to be about our Father's. This is the authority of the king, not a king, the king. The task of the church and the task of every one of us as disciples is to show people who God is in Christ Jesus. I love the prayer that was given in the installation of officers because it ties up everything that I've already said and that I'm going to say. That's our job. That's what our task is, to show people who God is in Christ Jesus. The one who left the glory of heaven, yes, and came among us humans, the one who lived as a man, who gave his life sacrificially on Calvary's cross, who demonstrated the power of God over death at the grave, by his glorious resurrection. It is he who says, the authority belongs to me. He lived, he loved, he taught, he served, and he died for people of all time. He has a right to say to the church, Go and make disciples. So we have the authority of the command. But secondly, the command is or has a steady task. Yeah. The Lord gave us something to do and to keep on doing. It's a steady task. In other words, I ministered to Sister Carpet, and she came to the Lord, gave her hand to the preacher, and her life to Christ. I'm done. It's a steady task. We keep on making disciples. It's active. We keep on doing this. And I need to tell you, some of our more senior saints, there's no retirement. There's no retirement. This is not even on the paper. I'll give it to you for free. Just because you can't do what you used to do, there's something that you can do. I have a sister. There's a sister in the church where my pastor pastors. And she said, I can't get up and go like I used to. I can't go to the mission groups like I used to. But my fingers still work and I can use the phone. She is still doing ministry. So the Lord gives us something to do and to keep on doing. What is the business of the church? What is the business of the Christian? It is to bring people to God through Jesus Christ. It is to baptize those who are one. It is to teach the way, the work, and the purposes of our Lord. We are to keep on passing on our faith to others. Each of us, reach one, teach one. That's what we are to do. And I need to tell you, it's not left up to the professionals. No. It's all of us. We have a message to share with a dying world. And it's a divine message, y'all. We are to share the message of the gospel. Plain and simple. Our message is not about our church. Hello. You didn't know that, did you? It's not about our church. Our church may have some admirable characteristics. It may be financially successful. Amen. It may be physically attractive. Amen. It may be organizational complete. But that's not the message. That's not the message. Our message is not about denominations. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's not about denominations. It's not about our preacher. It's not about our standards. It's not about our music. And all of these are important. Yes, they are important. But none of them can save a lost, hell-bound soul. I don't care what you sing. I don't care what you wear. I don't care how good your preacher preaches. If he's not preaching Jesus Christ and him dead, rose from the grave. Our mission, our task is a simple one. It's simple. We want to make it hard, but it's not. It's a message of hope for the hurting, of life to the dead, of peace to the tormented. Our message is called the gospel. And you know what the word says? It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's a simple message. It's a message that every person in the world needs to hear. It's universal in its application, and it has the potential to change every life that falls under its power. That's what it says in John 1, 11 and 12. Paul says, our message is this, my brothers and sisters. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Sharing the gospel message isn't easy. It's easy as telling the lost what Jesus did for you and what he can do for them. It's just that easy. Let me tell you, when we read the word go, we get paralyzed. Oh, yeah, we get paralyzed. For the vast majority of us, we think that word go means that we need to sell our house and all our possessions and go to some foreign country where we don't understand the culture, where we don't understand the language. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. Now, if that's what God has called you to do, you need to get about doing it. But for the vast majority of us, that's not what that means. That means go is better translated as you go. As you go, as you go along, make disciples, as you go to HEB, as you go to Walmart, as you go to the CPS to pay your light bill, as you go to Sprint to pay your bill, as you go to your job, as you go, make disciples. Every day, everywhere you go, right where you are, make disciples. Now, we live in this nation. We understand this culture. We understand this language. We speak this language. So what's the problem? What's the problem? Let's not allow the Great Commission to become the Great Omission. Let us not fail to do what God has commanded us to do. We must share the most powerful message the world has ever heard. He saved me, y'all. He saved me. That's a powerful message to share with somebody who's going through. And if he saved me, he can save you. He can save that person. He can save them. This word must be delivered to a lost world by the people of God. It's out. It's imperative that we do that. There is no other message that God will use to draw the sinner to himself. And there is no other message he will use to save lost souls. So he tells us, y'all got it from here. Yeah. Go tell somebody. So there's the authority of the command. There is our steady task of the command. But finally, there is a divine presence in the command. I got excited. Jesus concluded his commission with a promise. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Y'all don't even know when to shout. That's shouting news right there. That's shouting news right there. He said, listen, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. It's so hard when a dear friend has to move far away. Amen? When we have to say goodbye. And it's even more traumatic when there's a death and things seem so final when we are separated physically from somebody that we love. But do you remember when you were kids and your bestie, that's what they call them today, your bestie, your best friend had been over at your house. And you had been playing and laughing and enjoying each other's company. Do you remember? But then it became time for your friend to go home. It was almost time. I'm going to take you back. It was almost time for the street light to come on. And they had to get home before the street light came on. So you ask your mama, can I walk him or her peace way home? Peace way home. Not all the way. Just piece of the way home. And you started out walking and you were skipping and you were talking and enjoying yourself. And then you got to that halfway point. And you turned to go back home. But then you turned and you looked back at your friend. And all you wanted to do was run back and grab them and take them all the way home. Am I the only one in here who's been like that? Well, I got some good news for you. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he has promised his presence. Lo, I am with you always. Always is the word that Jesus, the King, uses. This means that all the days of summer, winter, spring, and fall, all the sunny days when all is going well, and the cloudy days when nothing is going right, the days of the storm, and the days of the joy, the days of faith, and the days that we have of doubt, the days of victory, and the days of defeat, the days of strength, and the days of weakness, the days of peace, and the days of war, the days of youth, the days of midlife, the days of old age, and even the days of death. Yes, he is with us, even into our eternity. He promised he'd be with us. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. So when we are standing there, when we are witnessing, when we are sharing the gospel with that friend, with that family member, or even that total stranger, remember that the Lord himself is right there with us. Hallelujah. He'll help us. He will enable us. He will embolden us. He'll give you some so you can stand up and you can tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. We will never share this gospel alone when we are a child of God. He has promised us his power. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. But this is what he says. But ye shall receive power. Yes. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Go, 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 and make disciples, because you can take it from here. Thank you, Jesus. You can take it from here. You can take it from here. Y'all got it from here. Get busy. Oh, God. Oh, glory. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. Did not the preacher preach? Did not the woman of God stand before the people of God and declare the good news? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The door to my Father's house stands open. I feel like preaching, but she's already done it. Go. You go. I invite you to come if you are not a member of the church. We invite you to come. Hey! God bless you, my brother. Welcome. Come on, choir. Church is standing. As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. You may be seated, but my blood was shed for me. There may be somebody here who joined Second Baptist when you were a child. And as long as Big Mama was living, as long as Uncle John or Aunt Jane was living, as long as Mother was living, you came to church. But you haven't been 10, 15, 20 years, and you still think that you're a member of the church. I stopped by to let you know that heaven may have your name, but your name is not on this church roll. You need to put your name back on this church roll so that you can enjoy the benefits of church membership. And so you know who I'm talking to. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to walk and pull you in. But I'll tell you this. If you die today or tomorrow, you may not be buried from Second Baptist. If you have a wedding, you may not get that wedding without a cost. There are benefits to being a member of the body of Christ. And you may say, well, if my name is on heaven's roll, guess what? He's coming back for a church. For the church without spot or wrinkle. If your name is not on the church roll, when the roll is called up yonder, you may not be able to answer. If you're here, you know who you are. You can come today. Just say to yourself, I made a decision to follow Christ and to be an active witness for him. Hey, whoever you are, wherever you are, stand. Come right now. Come while the blood runs warm in your veins. The deacons are walking. You may not want to come by yourself. They'll walk with you. Would you come? I see you. I see you. Stand where you are. You don't have to come. Your health won't let you come. But your standing says, I want Christ. I want to be a member of this body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. Welcome home, my sister. Welcome home. Is there somebody else? God has given you strength. He's given you health. He's given you a job. But what about you giving your life to Christ? What about you standing in? What about you coming forward? This is the invitation to discipleship. It's the renewing of your relationship with Jesus the Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you can come today. And then you may be saying, I ain't coming. But let me tell you something. If you don't come to him, you don't answer his call to go. Guess what? When the death angel comes, it's too late. Use your strength today, the blood that's running warm in your veins, to say, here am I. Send me. I'll go. What about you? What about you? What about you? Some of you stood, say you were members of Second Baptist. I wish I had the roll to call the roll today. I need laborers. The Lord needs workers in his vineyard. Come. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, come. My sister, you may be seated. Oh, yeah. we have before us. Young man that came to town several months ago. Miss Francine Prosser invited him to Second Baptist. Sunday after Sunday, 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock, he has been with us for worship. Jackie and I took him out to lunch one Sunday. At lunch, he said to us, "I was a trustee at my old church. I don't want to leave my old church. They need me." I looked at him, I said, "Your new church, Second Baptist, needs you as well. Need your wisdom. Need your faithfulness." And every Sunday that he comes to church, he drops a $100 bill in the plate. He didn't think I knew who gave the 100, but I know folk in Second. Thank you. Deacon, would you share his statement with us?
Reverend Jimison and members of Second Baptist, we have coming to us this afternoon Mr. Maurice Bridges, wishing to become a member of Second Baptist based on his Christian experience.
Amen, amen. Brother Bridges is an executive with VIA. Where are my VIA workers? There you go, there you go. VIA just bought the bus that Rosa Parks refused to get up off her seat. They just bought that bus and bringing it to San Antonio. Hey, this man got some influence. And we welcome him to Second Baptist. Thank you, Brother Bridges. We welcome you to Second Baptist. Well, I'm not going to put you on the trustee board, but we're going to watch you for a while. And then if you labor hard, we may make you a deacon. No. But we welcome you. We're glad that you're here. We praise God for you. And everybody that loved God said amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To our speaker. You want to preach next Sunday? Thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for the great word. We will pass that message on to Pastor McIntyre and tell him that you did an excellent job for the King. For the King. Come on, church, thank God for me. For those of you who are worshiping with us, we usually get out about 12:15, between 12:30 and 12:15. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is here today. And we praise God. We promise you, you'll be out early next week. Matter of fact, the contemporaries will be having their anniversary next Sunday at 11 o'clock. Come for some good singing. Come for some good singing. Thank you, choir. Didn't this choir do a great job? Amen. All right, all right. We have a presentation to make to our guests. And after that presentation has been made, we will ask Reverend Nicholas Williams to give us our benediction. There's no food after the service today. The missionaries didn't want to cook. No food today. No food next Sunday. But guess what? On the fourth Sunday, we're going to have a soul food dinner. Barbecue ribs. Fried pork chops, chitlins, green beans and rice, okra and black-eyed peas, anything you want. So please prepare, be here to share with us eating on the fourth Sunday. Amen. We're presenting our gift.
Mrs. McIntyre, you have blessed my soul.
Amen.
Second Baptist, WMU.